Sex Positive Talk, where shame ends and nothing is off limits. Brought to you by Advocating for Sex Positive Education and Consent Culture, EmpoweredHearts.com, and GTFORadio.ca. I'm your host, Angel, queer femby, sexuality educator, and sex coach. You are listening to us broadcasting today out of Alberta's Sex Positive Education and Community Center. Pretty excited. You need to check out our website. Things have been just clicking along here. We're pretending the pandemic's never been a thing because, you know, we've had enough of that crap. So you do have to be double vaxxed to come into the space, but we have a beautiful new space. There are all kinds of swinger-orientated events on the weekend, and then fetish events are being feathered in on Sundays and Thursdays and that kind of thing. We're also participating in the Aurora Fetish event, so make sure you hit up our calendar. That's www.aspecc.ca. And check out the events under the event tab. You will notice that the website is being split into three separate groups. So there is now a webpage being created for the adult events. It will be on the Pleasure Crew website and a separate page entirely for all of the youth supports that we have out there. So again, this is Angel. I use they, them, and I am pretty excited that we're going to be talking about something that I think needs to be talked about more often. With me today is Theo, and he's going to join me in this discussion. And we're talking about what happens in relationships when somebody figures out or feels safe enough to explore their authentic gender and how that works for the relationship and all of that good stuff. Hey, Theo, say hi to everyone.
Hi, people.
So I put you in the hot seat with your permission, of course, because you know that we love consent around here, because you're one of the few people that I have watched go through a relationship while transitioning. And I think you folks have handled it beautifully, but I also know it couldn't have been anywhere near as easy on the inside as it looked to us on the outside, because there's some big changes there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's true. I am the only one of the very few people you've seen transition while in a relationship. Dang.
Yeah. Like, I've seen, there's been a few of us that have gone from, you know, presenting really cisgender to something more non-binary, but you're the only person I've watched go from one binary to the other.
Ah.
Which, cool. I mean, I'm glad I could be part of, you know, the background support team there, because I love you and you're very happy and I like that. But when you first started in your relationship, where were you in your transition journey?
I believe I was at the point where I was presenting as non-binary, but I was very closeted still.
Okay. And like, when you say you were pretty closeted still, what does that mean to you?
I was pretty much only out at Aspec. And none of my family knew, none of that. I hadn't started any of the, like, paperwork or anything of that sort to get my legal name changed or anything like that. And I definitely hadn't even started exploring medical transition.
Okay, that's fair. And for anybody listening, not all people that are trans or non-binary, or even when they transition from one binary to another, are going to explore any sorts of medical interventions, and that's okay. Every person gets to make those choices, and I know that Theo made the choices that are right for him.
Yeah.
Right? No? You sounded hesitant there.
No, I'm just thinking, yeah, no, I'm pretty happy with where I am now.
Aw, I love hearing that. So when you two first started dating, how aware were you of your gender identity, and how aware was, I don't know if I'm allowed to use his name, but how aware was your partner?
We've been on the podcast together before, it's fine.
Okay, so how well did Adam understand where you were at gender-wise, and how well did you understand?
It was still pretty nebulous for me. It never really clicked for me that I was, you know, mass cleaning until I started packing, and that was just a fluke that happened with a sock.
Can you explain what packing is?
So packing is when you put something in your underwear or even just, like, on a strap around your waist to simulate the feeling of having a penis.
Oh, I've done that.
Really?
Yeah. Well, for drag, right? I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
And as a very young adult, there was a group of us that spent all day packing around basically a small dildo in our pants to see what it felt like.
Huh.
I didn't know that that was called packing, so.
Yep, that's packing.
Very cool. And so what happened when you were packing that triggered that sense of awareness?
Well, I put it in my underwear and I looked down and that looked right. And then I touched it and that felt right. And that was it. It was that simple. Like just 5 seconds of having that little packer in there and I was sold.
Wow. So that had to have been like a real profound moment for you.
Oh, yeah, it was, like, I'd always known something was off, but I never had the exact, like, idea of what I wanted. And even now, it's still kind of solidifying, but it's a lot more solid than it used to be.
So, I mean, when you first, I remember the first time I met you, actually, and, I mean, you were very femme-presenting, and What made you start questioning what gender looked like? Like, had you been questioning it before then?
Yes, I'd been questioning it before, and honestly, I presented quite femme because that was what was expected of me, especially in my job and from my parents.
I wish things were different in society. Yeah, that makes sense to me. And so the more you spent time at ASPEC, where we're all just kind of saying to hell with those norms, the more you were able to express that? Or did you have other supports coming into play? Like,
no, ASPEC was pretty much my gender playground.
Wow. So for folks who are curious, Theo came to ASPEC and is now on the board. So I always am curious what makes people want to support what we're doing over there, but like that makes a lot of sense to me, actually. So how well did Adam understand where you were at then?
When we first started dating, I was non-binary identifying at the time, and that was one of the first things he asked me was what he should call me, and I gave him my pronouns and that sort of thing, and then he asked what kind of compliments I liked, and at that point I didn't know. So I said, you know, I'm not sure. So he called me both handsome and beautiful. And that, like, kind of sold things for me on him as well.
Oh, my God. I've got chills hearing you say that. Go, Adam. Go, Adam. and I'm assuming that you resounded more with handsome than beautiful from what you've said.
Yes.
That is... wow, that's incredible. And see, and I try and tell people, like, Adam is an example of what healthy masculinity can look like. You know, because Pete actually thinks about other people's perspectives in a way that I just don't come across very often. But yeah, no, that's a beautiful, what a beautiful way to start a relationship. And then as things have solidified for you, do you think it has impacted your relationship at all?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's caused a lot of stress, both financial and emotional, between, you know, the fits of dysphoria and dealing with, you know, medical issues with minding and dealing with him having to care for me after my top surgery, and then stuff like buying a new wardrobe, buying packers and binders and all sorts of things to help me feel more at home in my body. Like, it's a lot.
It sounds like a lot. I don't think I'd actually thought about the financial aspects of transitioning and how that would impact one's own ability to be comfortable in their own body and their relationship. So when we come back, I want to kind of dive into that area a little bit more if you're comfortable. But like, as always, anything I say, you don't have to answer any questions. You were an unpaid guest on the show and you were allowed to tell me to shut up. So folks, you've been listening to Sex Talk. We're talking about the impact of transitioning on relationships and hoping that, you know, Theo can share enough experience to kind of help others that are on their journey or just answer some of those questions you might have about being supportive of someone when they're discovering or feeling safe enough to share what they've already discovered about their gender in general. We've got a couple tunes lined up for ya, and we will be right back after this. Hey everybody, welcome back to Sex Talk. This is Angel. I use they, them pronouns, and on air with me today is Theo. And I just have to say that I did not think through that playlist quite as well as I normally do, matching it up to the show. Considering we were just talking about the joys of packing, having a song on there, singing about how vag is better than penis is bizarre and discombobulating. So, yeah, I lose points for that one for sure. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We're talking today about how when someone transitions gender in a relationship, some of the impacts in there. And right before we went to break, Theo brought up a really interesting point, finances. And I had thought about, you know, how, so a lot of you might not know this, but a lot of these surgeries aren't covered either. And a lot of the hormone medications, if they're covered, are only partially covered, or they won't cover the ones that have less side effects. So a lot of people are out of pocket for a lot of this. And that's if you can even get a doctor on board to provide the prescriptions that you need, because quite often people are buying these things online. So I thought about those aspects of the finances, but I hadn't thought about how much privilege you have to have financially to be able to do all those other things that trans and non-binary folk are often doing in order to feel safe and good in their own body, like binding, like being able to buy Packers, by having gender-affirming clothes.
Oh, yeah. And even now, and it's been, like 2 years on testosterone now. That I still don't have, like, a full wardrobe. I just bought a whole bunch of pants and jeans, but I have to hem them. So they're just sitting in a bag waiting to be hemmed, and I definitely don't have enough shirts. Like, I have t-shirts, but I don't have anything nice.
Nothing that shows off your gender-affirming physique.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, and that's got to add stress to the relationship, too, because that money has to come from somewhere. Which means there's something else that usually that money goes to that now it can't go to.
Yep.
So for somebody who's thinking about transitioning, like, how would you mitigate that stress if you could go back and do it over with the knowledge you have now?
Well, we kept things pretty cheap when I first started exploring, socially transitioning, which is, you know, wow, my brain just farted.
socially transitioning. So for anybody who doesn't know what that means, how would you describe that?
I would describe that as bringing your gender out into the real world. So doing things like changing your name, not legally, but like informally, asking people to change pronouns, changing your clothes, cutting your hair, that sort of thing, changing makeup.
So basically signaling to your social circle what's going on.
Yeah.
Okay. That makes sense to me. So when you were socially transitioning, you folk were keeping things fairly inexpensive, you know, checking things out without going overboard in what you purchase.
Yeah. Well, we also thrifted a lot. So we actually took trips together, and Adam is really into clothes. So he would help me, he taught me, you know, how men's clothes are supposed to fit, because, wow, did I not know.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, so, like, he helped me pick out shirts that were easier to alter and that sort of thing.
Wow, we need to get Adam to come to a class. Serious. Oh, that is, you know, so I have helped people who are born in the, you know, assigned male at birth box, figure out how to move their bodies and clothe their bodies and how to tell which styles are going to work for them when they're trying to explore femininity. But it never occurred to me that you also need to know the tips and tricks for dressing mask.
Oh, yeah.
Wear pants and a shirt, you're good, right?
Not necessarily. I wear pants and a shirt and I look like a... Sorry to say it, I look like a butch lesbian.
I look like grandma no matter what I do, so...
Grandma. Yeah. Now that surgery is done, it's a little easier, but even then, I still have wider hips than I do my shoulders, so I still have to work at it.
Huh. Yeah, I hadn't thought of that. Thank you for sharing that. That just really threw me. So not only do you have to learn how to do this whole new budget, but you also have to learn how to buy things that are actually going to work for you. So we can't just look at something on a mannequin and go, yeah, because we have to buy things for our bodies that are going to present the way we want.
Yep, and the problem is for a lot of trans mask folks, they're shorter than cis men and less broad in the shoulders, so shirts just look funny.
Oh, this sounds like a really good time to tell folk to check out our website, because tomorrow we've got a post going up about an individual who's a trans man and makes clothes for trans men.
Heck yeah.
So, because of that. Because, you know, the way we're formed during puberty is going to impact the way our body's laid out. And our genetics going to impact the way our bodies are laid out. Yeah, I had thought about the short legs thing, but I mean, hemming pants isn't too bad. But I hadn't thought about the shirt thing. So when you were first exploring, you were doing thrifting, and you had somebody who enjoys dressing masks, so they were able to really help you, which is super cool. And also Adam sews, correct?
A little bit. I also sew.
And so between the two of you, you were able to figure out how to modify a few things and that kind of thing, so that had to help with expenses. So what kind of things should people plan for running up against where thrifting isn't going to quite cut it?
I mean, obviously you're not going to thrift your underwear.
Good point.
So learning what your underwear size is important. Yeah, it's generally just learning how to alter things or finding a good tailor.
Yeah, man. Ugh, so complicated. Why can't things be easier?
Right, and even finding your style. Like, I thought I was going to dress pretty similar to Adam when I first started, but no, my style is leaning a lot more in a different direction, so, like, I've kind of bought two wardrobes in my search for my own style.
So very much like second teenagerhood, where you're trying to find what feels like it represents you the best.
Yeah, definitely. Like, I've gone through my hippie phase, my goth phase. Like, it's all high school all over again.
Wow. And what do you find has been the most expensive part of transitioning so far?
Honestly, it's the clothes. Because, I mean, my testosterone is covered, partially, and my surgery is covered.
I'm glad to hear that.
And I did a lot of searching to find the best deals for my name change and stuff. And that was just a one-time cost. But, like, clothes and, oh, God, shoes. Shoes. Finding shoes that fit. That is a thing.
Yeah, I guess, hey? Because if you're, like, what am I? Like, a 7'8". So I'm probably, like, a 5'6" in guys' sizes for shoes. Where the hell do you find something that looks like grown-ups wear it? In that size. Yep.
Exactly.
Oh, God. I hadn't even... So anybody out there who's a cobbler, like, you want a way to make a few extra bucks, Sure be nice if there were a few more choices out there. So for finances impacting the relationship, you obviously had a lot of support from Adam, and I'm really grateful that that's true. If other people are experiencing issues making their budget work, were there any, like, fancy communication tricks you can share for helping to solve those kinds of disagreements?
Be honest and upfront as soon as possible. Just be clear about what you need and what is feasible. If you have to, you know, I'm not going to say eat ramen for a month, but, like, if you have to cut down on eating out, like, sometimes that's worth it.
Yeah, I agree. What are the repercussions if people, like, I mean, we're adults, right? So we're supposed to have a lot more resiliencies and stuff. But, like, if you weren't able to do these things, how does that impact your relationship?
Oh, well, I would go back into my depression hole, and that's, you know, a huge drain on the relationship. And, I mean, it would get to the point where I'd start considering suicide again, honestly, if I couldn't.
I know that's a really hard thing for a lot of people to hear and talk about, and I think it's really important that it gets mentioned. Because I think a lot of times when we're talking about trans identities, we tend to think about the fun stuff, right? Like, what body parts do you enjoy? And, ooh, you got to go and get a whole new wardrobe. Like, that's kind of fun. And, you know, that kind of thing. But this isn't done out of boredom. This is done out of a really deep need.
Yeah, definitely.
So, yeah, thank you for sharing. You know, that can be a really hard thing to talk about. And for anyone listening, if you've got a loved one in your life who's been talking about their gender, like, it's an important part to remember. All you have to do is be there and understand that even though their perspective might not match yours, that that's their perspective and is valid, and support them. And that lack of support really can lead to some horrific things, including suicide. Yeah, and I can see that, of course, taking a huge toll on relationships. I know we've both helped other people navigate when someone in the relationship is struggling with depression and self-harm, including suicidal attempts. And it's hard. That's a huge emotional toll on everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And then, we're sitting here. Every time I start getting good questions, I'm like, ooh, it's break time. I need to kick us over to a couple of new songs in a minute. For anybody that's tuned in, you are listening to Sex Talk. With me today is Theo. Theo is one of the board members at ASPEC and is an incredible guy that has been so willing to share of their personal journey in hopes to help other people just kind of understand. And, you know, and because I think, too, that I don't know, Theo, you can answer me whether or not I'm on board here, or if I'm on the right track, but educating is just kind of a feel-good way to deal with some of this stuff.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Sharing and explaining helps me figure it out myself as well, because, I mean, I didn't click that I was Demi Boy until in the middle of an interview.
Oh, God, are you kidding?
Yeah, I don't remember which one, but it was in an interview, and we were talking about binary, and I'm like, not quite. Oh, that makes sense.
Oh, wow. Okay, total sidetrack there. But yeah, so, you know, this is kind of how things sort of roll. We're going to kick over to a couple songs. Big thank you out there to GTFO Radio for giving us this platform. And, of course, to Aurora Social Club for donating space for us to continue our sex education. And to ATB Online for the support they gave to the Queer Youth Club. That's me softening you up, because we are going to be reaching it again. Everybody, welcome back to Sex Talk. This is Angel, and I'm broadcasting from Alberta Sex Positive Education and Community Center. And with me today is Theo, and he and I have been talking about, you know, some of the impacts of transitioning when you're in a relationship and things like that. And as always, I get completely distracted because Theo has so many interesting things to say. So far we've talked about some of those surprising things that can impact their relationship when it comes to transitioning, like, you know, how the financial stress, we talked a lot about that actually, because some of the financial aspects really surprised me. Things like having to set up a whole new wardrobe, figure out what you even want for a wardrobe. And we also talked about how amazing Adam is. That's Theo's partner, because, you know, he can be pretty amazing, although I'm sure he has all his own human flaws as well. When you think about... Oh, definitely. I love how quick you spoke up. Yep. When you're thinking about transitioning, though, and your relationship, do you think that your relationship would have been in a different place if you hadn't transitioned? And what are some of the benefits to your actual romantic relationship?
How it would have been different if I hadn't transitioned?
Yeah.
I don't think we'd be as close.
Can you explain that a little?
Well, Adam sat through me with a whole lot of trauma between, you know, the dysphoria and all of that. He understands me quite well because I've been very open about all of these struggles. And I think if I hadn't come out, I probably would have resented him for, you know, essentially keeping me in that femme presentation.
That makes a lot of sense. So, like, that vulnerability that you had to expose a part of yourself that was very real and authentic to him in order to be able to come out, allowed him to be closer to you and you to him.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, having someone take care of you post-surgery when you literally cannot shower is very vulnerable, and it definitely brought us together. I cried when getting a sponge bath because I couldn't move my arms, and I felt so vulnerable and so naked.
Aww. I'm really glad that you were in a safe place when that was going on. I didn't realize that the surgery was that debilitating.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you basically lose the ability to move your arms for a few weeks.
And is that a common experience?
Yep.
Wow. The things they don't tell you when you're talking about this kind of stuff. And for reference, like, we're talking about top surgery where you have the fatty breast material removed. Just for anybody who's not up on the, you know, trans lingo. Yeah, that's incredible. I'm feeling a little shook here because I'm not sure how I would cope with that degree of vulnerability.
It was really hard.
And I can't imagine Adam being impatient or anything but okay with providing that help.
Yeah, the only difficulty we had was my return to, like, regular chores. Because I got used to not doing them.
Were you feeling a little pampered?
A little bit.
And I've heard from people it can go one of two ways anytime they've had any kind of surgery like that where they find that they need a lot of support, is that either you get used to having that support and it's hard to not have that constant affirmation of how valuable somebody finds you in their life, or that their partner who is providing the caregiving struggles to give up the support. So.
Yeah.
And good on you for being able to recognize that. So how did you cope with moving forward like that?
I'm still working on it. It's mostly just being accountable. If Adam asks me to, you know, put away the laundry, if I do it, I do it. If I don't, I don't. And I mean, he's going to find out either way.
True. So just your typical relationship angst then is what I'm hearing.
Yep.
Yep. That's beautiful. And so, you kind of answered both questions in one, but, like, are there other impacts for your relationship having come through to where, I mean, if I'm understanding correctly from conversations we've had in your past, you're pretty happy with your body right now and you're feeling very comfortable in it, correct?
For the most part, yeah.
Well, dysphoria doesn't just disappear. What?
No, and heck, I got my chest taken off, and I still sometimes have dysphoria about my chest. Not as often, but still happens.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's okay. It's just because, like, I've got the funny lumps on the side from the leftover tissue, like that sort of thing.
Gotcha. You hadn't thought about that either, because it's not like it just magically takes you back to pre-breast development.
Nope, you've got scars and brand new nipples and dog ears is what they're called, I think. That extra bit of fatty tissue on the side, then it's really common if you've particularly large breasts. And it's just kind of this little triangle of flesh that kind of sticks out like an extra side roll.
So this is common enough to have a nickname, but not enough for them to just remove that at the same time?
Yeah, I don't know why they don't, but apparently they go down a bit after surgery, and mine have. They've gotten smaller, and they're quite easy to deal with liposuction about 6 months later.
Okay.
At least according to my surgeon, and my surgeon doesn't have the best reputation, but I'm happy with my results so far, so...
That's good to know. Things I had no idea. And I've been the support person for someone who had a breast reduction.
Mm-hmm.
So not the same then.
Oh, no. It's a fairly major surgery, especially in my case.
Okay. And I remember there was concern about nipples not lasting.
Yeah, well, there's always the concern that the nipple grafts won't take.
Man. Okay, so the difference when you're dealing with your own sense of your body now as compared to pre-T and pre-surgery and pre-name change and all of that, like on a scale of 1 to 100, before you would have been sitting at what for being okay with your body?
Like a 12?
And now?
I would say like a 75.
Wow. That's impressive. That has to have positive impacts on every aspect of your life.
Oh, yeah. I'm a whole lot less depressed.
No shit. Wow. And then, I mean, how's that? I want to ask a really personal question. Like, does that confidence in your body and that feeling like you're actually in skin that might actually belong to you, does that help in your sex life?
It does and it doesn't. I have a lot of trauma when it comes to sex. I was manipulated a lot previously, so lately my sex life has been pretty quiet.
As you navigate the trauma?
Yeah, because of the trauma. But there was a period immediately after my top surgery where I was super excited and comfy in my body, and I did a lot of Tinder hookups, and it was great.
Aww. Okay. So, I mean, and I kind of understand what you're saying about the trauma, because as we deal with one thing that's impacting our psychological and emotional well-being, we create safety for our brains to let out the next thing. Like that's pretty normal. And you're in a relationship that's pretty safe. Again, recognizing that both you and Adam have flaws and it's not perfect. So I don't want to pedestal you too high. But I mean, you're both decent human beings, right? So even the support of that relationship through all of this has to have created a little more safety for your brain to go, oh, guess what? Have this.
Yeah. And poor Adam gets the brunt of it.
Oh, I'm sure it's a two-way road. I'm sure it is. That's, like, absolutely incredible, Theo. Like, the amount of self-work that you've had to do to be able to find your way, I think, really should be acknowledged at this point. And, I mean, I'm grateful that you have the resilience of a good partner and things like that that's, you know, supported you through this. But I don't want to undermine, like, just how much strength you yourself have shown in allowing yourself to be vulnerable and reaching out for those supports and for taking the risk of just letting yourself be who you are in the ways that you've done. So I really just wanted to take that moment to say, like, good job.
Aw, thank you.
You make it look easy, but I'm pretty sure it's not.
It's definitely not crazy.
Mm-hmm. And if you could send a message out there to other partners who might be dealing with, you know, their sweetheart transitioning, what kind of words of wisdom would you pass on to them?
Support them, and you'll see them happier than you ever have, and you'll grow closer to them than you ever have. You're not losing your partner, you're gaining a whole lot more.
I wish people would stop saying that they're losing someone when they transition.
Yeah, I wanted to address that because, yeah, that's something my parents say a lot.
It's like, well, the only thing you're losing is your preconceived notion that you've tried to put somebody into.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm going to get stuck there. I think that's really good advice. Like, just support them and recognize that them being an empowered, happy individual can only be a benefit.
Exactly.
And what has been the weirdest thing you have discovered about your transformed self?
The weirdest thing?
Or the funniest thing? besides doing the dance. Say that again?
I still don't have sensation on my whole chest, which is kind of funky.
Like, you have dead spots on your chest?
Yeah, most of it's dead.
Really?
Yep.
Is that part of the norm?
Yes. And nerves will reconnect somewhat, and it differs for everyone on how well those nerves are going to reconnect.
So again, major surgery, not something people do on a whim.
No, definitely not. I went to the hospital overnight, and I was recovering for, I couldn't lift more than 5 pounds for, I probably shouldn't for more than a month.
Jeez.
And even now, I probably shouldn't be lifting, really, really heavy things, because it'll stretch the scars out.
That makes sense. And what do you think has been your biggest takeaway from your journey so far?
Don't be afraid to love yourself enough to become who you truly are.
Oh, well, now I feel like I need to have a little cry. No, that's fair. I think fear really does hold us back, doesn't it? In a sense that we owe other people more than we owe ourselves. So when you think of all the roadblocks that have been put into place, like the gatekeeping that happens, the pushback from parents and all that kind of crap, and, you know, having to deal with educating your workplace and, you know, all the anxiety and all of that crap that comes with it, worth it to get where you are now?
Oh, yeah, 100% worth it. I would sit through 100 awkward comings out in meeting rooms at work to be able to do this.
Do you find that, having gone through this and getting out on the other side has changed your perspective on any part of your journey?
I'm not sure. I might be too close to it still.
That's fair. I'll check back in a year. We'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see where you're at then. Was there anything about transitioning that gave Adam some pause? Like, were there any parts where he was like,
no, he's embraced everything.
Aww.
And, he's basically said, it's my decision. I get to do whatever I want with my body.
That is just a beautiful way to be, honestly. And when it comes to sexuality, this has to have given you new words to use when you're describing your sexuality, right?
What do you mean?
Well, I don't know. Like, for me, it kind of screwed. I remember when I first started dating my first girlfriend, and we were at an LGBTQ support rally thing, and they were like, "Who's here as an ally?" And I put my hand up, and she was like, totally offended. And it was like, I hadn't thought of myself as being anything other than straight. Like, it just didn't occur to me. Like, that's what I was raised to be, right? And then there I was, sleeping with someone with the same genitals as me, sharing clothes with them, you know what I mean? And it just never occurred to me that that meant I wasn't straight.
Yeah, fair enough. I'm definitely learning a lot more about, like, gay culture, and I feel like I missed out a lot about that. I'm still a baby gay in a lot of ways.
Is that, that's not a word you would have used for yourself before you started figuring out your gender, right?
Oh, definitely not.
I was just curious, because, you know, like, we have some friends in common that when they went through this, they had to re-navigate, like, their partners had to figure out what that meant for them. You know?
Yeah.
It's like, well, am I still a lesbian?
Yeah, thankfully that it was
Pan,
so.
Yeah, well.
That helps.
Yeah, I can see that making that a little easier, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, too funny. So we only got a few minutes left, so is there anything that you wish I had asked that you feel like you could give more information on? Right? There's so much to talk about. I'm like, what can I bring up for less than 5 minutes?
Yeah, that's tough.
How about, where did you find the information on what options were out there for you and how to access them?
Oh, tons of Google searches.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I found Transbucket to be quite helpful when it came to looking for surgery results.
I've never even heard of that. Transbucket. Okay. Make it
work. It's a database where trans people upload, like, before and after surgery photos.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. It's definitely, like, highly personal, and there's only, like, a few results for my surgeon, at least. But it helped me a bit. Because then I could look at, you know, hey, this person had a chest kind of like mine, and this is what their results look like. This is what I can kind of expect, maybe.
Okay, and lots of people in there sharing their experience with recovery and stuff.
Yeah, and they talk about, like, dead spots and stuff like that. The stuff that you don't hear from your doctor or from a random Google search.
That's fair. Just like they don't really tell you that you can still conceive or you know, knock someone else up even after you're on hormone therapy.
Yeah, it does not sterilize you.
And they don't tell people that. And I've known quite a few people who've had some big scares because they thought that they didn't need birth control.
Yikes.
Mm-hmm. Do you have to, like, or is this going to accidentally remove you from, you know, getting the right screening reminders and stuff? Because I know somebody who, when they transitioned, when they transitioned to, you know, trans woman, they started getting notifications to get their prostate checked.
Oh, geez.
And it's like, I don't think that came with the surgery, but I'll check.
That's funny. I haven't had anything like that, though it has been fun to watch, like, my ads change. I've only just started getting ads for binders, and I'm now not needing one, and it's hilarious.
Oh, that was the other one, too. So I know we were talking about adding a whole bunch of resources to our website to make sure that people have places they can access things. But for anybody who's looking at binding stuff, I know there's a lot of safety information they need to consider. Do you have a favorite resource for that?
I don't really. I, like, most of mine were random Instagram comics. Like, the information is so piecemeal. There's no big, like, database where everything is altogether nice and convenient.
Sounds like a project for Aspec.
It does.
Oh, Theo, I have just loved having you on the show. As always, you know you're one of my favorite guests. I really appreciate that you were willing to share such a personal part of your journey for people to kind of learn a little more about it. And, to, you know, hopefully this information helps somebody in some way, shape, or form. I mean, it's already helped me, so check on that. Yeah, like, learning is amazing, right? And I had no idea, and I even did some research for the show, and I looked up the surgery, and I didn't see anything about that. So I didn't even realize it was that long of a convalescence after. So that's super appreciated. And then knowing what a difference it makes, like, for folks who've been on my show before, been listening, we've had other people talk about their journey as they transitioned. And I'm sure you're noticing the big difference between the way Theo's talking and the way some of our other guests have talked when they've had less than supportive partners. So just keep that in mind, that support is huge. But yeah, Theo, super thank you. We've got like 30 seconds. I'm going to kick us over to our sign-offs and stuff. For anybody that is interested in keeping the show going, feel free to reach out and donate. You can donate to ASPECC, ASPECC.ca. We've got a PayPal and everything. It was great hearing from you, Theo. Thank you so much again.